Thank you. Be seated. Court is ready to hear oral argument from petitioner in Holmes versus Morales.
May it please the court. Mr. William Delmore will present argument for petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court. This controversy has had its genesis in 1984, shortly after the promulgation of the Open Records Act, when the district attorney, Harris County, asked that the attorney general recognize that he was not subject to the act in that he did not fit under any of the definitions of governmental body set out in the act. That issue was resolved against the district attorney by the attorney general in an opinion designated, I believe it was JM 266, back in 1984. And there was not initially a lot of concern over that ruling because two and perhaps three of the exceptions to disclosure under the Act seemed so plainly applicable to the contents of the district attorney's litigation files, which are the only records in issue here, that it was always believed that they would be found to be exempt from disclosure under the Act. And in fact, that's what happened. The Attorney General has always agreed that the entire content of the district attorney's file for a criminal prosecution is exempt from disclosure under the law enforcement exception and the litigation exception to the Open Records Act, as long as the litigation is pending. And that is where we parted ways with the Attorney General a long time ago, and this argument has gone on essentially unabated since 1984, eventually resulting in this lawsuit being filed.
Why is it that the district attorney will not argue that these files are concerned with law enforcement or crime prevention?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, the district attorney...
It's my understanding that if the district attorney certifies that these files pertain to law enforcement or crime prevention, then they would not be subject to disclosure, but that the district attorney doesn't want to do that.
We have taken the position that the file is our records of prosecutors dealing with the detection, investigation, prosecution of crime in their entirety. And the Attorney General agrees with that so long as the litigation is pending. The only issue is whether we retain that blanket exemption from disclosure after the criminal litigation is concluded. And what we're attempting to avoid, I think this is what you're suggesting, is having to go through the file document by document, paragraph by paragraph, attempting to establish that each item of information in the file meets the additional requirements imposed by the Attorney General.
Or perhaps file by file.
Well, it's document by document by the Attorney General's construction of the Act. They have held that once the litigation is concluded, to bring us under the law enforcement exception, we have to show that the release of particular items of information within the file would, quote, unduly interfere with law enforcement, a phrase which appears nowhere in the Texas Open Records Act.
That's just the inspector's question. Why don't you argue that anyway when you send them your request? Well, say, we got file number 38, and if you let it out, it's going to unduly interfere with law enforcement or crime prevention, even though the case is closed.
Her question is,
why don't you argue that if you're not arguing?
I think that we are arguing it in the sense that release of the district attorney's file, the contents of the entire file, and having to disclose what the contents of that file are and what decision-making process has gone into the inclusion of items within the file, interferes with law enforcement in itself to the extent that it violates the separation of powers provision of the Texas Constitution.
So you are making the argument, but the General Morales says we don't agree with it, therefore you have to release it.
Our only argument with General Morales is whether or not we have to make an item-by-item determination of whether particular items of information within the file would interfere with law enforcement if released. We believe that the district attorney's overall concerns regarding the protection of his attorney, his confidential area or zone of privacy within which he can make his litigation decision and decide what information to seek out and obtain and include within the file, that the status of this paramount concern, we should not have to go through there and make the item-by-item determination, which is a very large, difficult task when you're looking at the volume of requests that are received.
Well, is that your main concern, just the how laborious it will be to do that?
No, Your Honor.
That is inconsistent, isn't it, with the rule in civil cases generally, where a general request for attorney's litigation file there may be a good objection to that. But we've always said that if there are specific requests that are not otherwise objectionable based on privilege, that is subject to discovery. Why shouldn't that same rule apply here?
We argue that it does. This court held in Curry versus Walker just within the last year that work product privilege does extend to prosecutors' litigation files, and that a request for the complete contents of the file is too broad because it gets into the prosecutor's decision-making process. All of the requests that were made the subject of this suit for declaratory judgment were requests for the complete contents of the file.
Can you have a similar objection to a specific request?
We have, yes.
On your
constitutional
separation of powers
yes,
argument?
Yes, we do, Your Honor.
But you concede that it would not be privileged under Walker versus Curry if they did make specific requests for non-privileged information within those files?
Yes. Yes. But we also have statutory construction arguments.
Right.
That, for instance, I think the only specific request that was made the issue of this suit, there were 8 requests for the complete file. Give us everything you got under that cause number. There was 1 request for a police offense report. We take the position that the police offense report clearly falls under the statutory exceptions to disclosure, law enforcement exception, litigation exception, and that offense report should not be disclosed under those exceptions. So we had both a broad scope to this litigation and a narrow scope, depending on whether you're looking at the larger issue of whether we're a governmental body, whether the act violates the separation of powers, or the more narrow issues of whether these questions of statutory construction have been correctly decided by the Attorney General. And I must apologize. I'm suffering from a sinus infection, a condition, and sometimes I'm having difficulty hearing the question, so please bear with me if I'm having trouble hearing.
Can you tell us, maybe this will help clarify, can you tell us specifically what you did prove up in connection with the law enforcement exception?
We proved up the contents of the files. My only concern was to make the district court able to determine that the files that we had made the issue of this suit fell within the definition of the law enforcement exception and the litigation exception, and that this did in fact constitute the non-public portion of a prosecutor's file. So we did 2 things in our summary judgment proof. We had a general description of what goes into a prosecutor's file and descriptions of what each item is, the purpose of each item, and then we specifically listed each document in each file sometimes giving it a necessarily general or generic description so that the court could see that, yes, these are law enforcement, these matters were sufficiently related to law enforcement or related to the litigation to fall within these statutory exceptions to disclosure. I didn't attempt to prove any specific interference with law enforcement that would result from the disclosure of particular items, because that's exactly what we're trying to avoid. That's what the Attorney General wants us to do, and it's our position that that's not necessary under the plain and unambiguous language of the Act.
Your argument is that these closed files are protected in perpetuity?
Yes, Your Honor.
What if I was, what if I was writing a book 10 years after a murder case closed and I came to see Mr. Holmes and wanted to access to a file, a closed file, just purely for background or historical purposes?
He would ask me to review the file, and if sufficient time had gone by and we really didn't have any continuing interest in confidentiality, Mr. Holmes would voluntarily give you the material to work on your book.
On a case-by-case basis.
Yes, so long as there's not items within the file that we are affirmatively prohibited from disclosing, which the Open Records Act also does.
But if we rule in your favor, someone not quite as benevolent as Johnny Holmes may not allow someone to look at those files.
That's correct, Your Honor, and if you don't like the job your district attorney is doing, then I suggest you elect somebody else, and that would certainly be our response to anybody that isn't satisfied with the degree of disclosure that Mr. Holmes is making or any other district attorney is making.
Frequently, though, the people who are seeking the information are not the voters in that district.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Frequently, the people who are seeking that information are not the voters in that district.
That's potentially true. That's correct. Let me say this. I originally hoped to just get these statutory issues and statutory construction before the Court of Appeals, but in order to do that, we had to go first address the threshold issue of whether we meet the definition of governmental body in the Act. That definition says offices of the executive and legislative branch. I thought that was very simple. The Court of Criminal Appeals held in Meschel versus State. It has since repeatedly held, and the Court of Appeals have relied on that decision in Meschel to also hold that the district attorney is an officer of the judicial branch of government.
In that line of argument, I don't recall you ever responding to the Etheridge case.
Etheridge is dicta. In Etheridge, the Court of Criminal Appeals had an argument in the death penalty case that some discovery should have been made in pretrial discovery pursuant to the Open Records Act, and they held no. The district attorney is subject to the Act under JM 266, but compliance with the Open Records Act should be in a completely different forum, and we're not going to consider that point of error. So they never address any of the issues that we're raising in this case. They simply stated in dicta, in reliance upon JM 266, that we are subject to the Act without even explaining which definition of governmental body we fall under.
Under your argument, no record by any commissioner, by any county commissioner, would be subject to discovery under the Open Records Act, correct?
That is the most serious concern I have with that argument. That argument certainly exists. I think that you can respond that the Texas Constitution has placed a legislative body within Article 5.
At least they call it a court, though.
It gave
it
legislative
body
powers. But I think that I probably need to focus on the district attorney status and leave the commissioner's court for another day. I'm not really prepared to address that, but I certainly agree that that is a concern if you should hold in our favor. Absolutely.
What portion of the district attorney's files must be made available to a defendant or a party to a lawsuit that the district attorney is pursuing?
Well, that depends. Most of our discovery in criminal cases is informal in nature. And we have to give up things like laboratory examination of physical evidence, witness statements, the defendant's statement, a very, very limited amount of discovery under Article 3914 of the Code of Criminal Procedure. It's a minute amount of information compared to the discovery in civil cases. I'm sorry, there's some ran out of time before I
have
the
guts.
Have one
more question.
Yes, sir.
On the same page that the General Morales raises Etheridge, they also state that in 1985 the legislature amended the Open Records Act to identify prosecutors as one of the entities that can raise law enforcement exceptions. Their conclusion is there's no need to clarify by an amendment if, in fact, the district attorney is not subject to the Open Records Act. What's your answer to that argument?
I believe that that could be construed to apply to municipal prosecutors, prosecutors employed by the Attorney General himself, and other prosecutors that are not within the judicial branch defined and delineated by Article 5.
Well, do you agree or disagree that you can be a part of the judicial department as the Article 5 states, but not necessarily be a part of the judiciary, that is?
Absolutely, Your Honor. And beginning with JM 266 and going right on through the Court of Appeals decision in this case, we've continually been confronted with this demolition of some straw man argument that we have never made, that we are subject to exemption under the exclusionary provision that exempts the judiciary. We are not claiming we are part of the judiciary. I think the judiciary has a much more narrow scope than the judicial branch of government. We're arguing we are not included within one of the inclusive definitions, specifically that we are not an officer of created by or within the executive or legislative branch of government.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much.
The court is ready to hear argument from the respondent.
May it please the court, Ms. Diane Morris will present argument for respondents.
Good morning, Chief Justice and Justices. My name is Diane Morris. I'm an Assistant Attorney General with the Office of the Attorney General. With me today is the Division Chief of the General Counsel Division, Mr. Dory Jefferson. I think to begin my response to Mr. Holmes' argument is to address the points of error 1 and 2. Those are the points that suggest that the District Attorney Holmes is part of the judiciary, or because they are mentioned within the judicial department in Article 5, Section 1 of the Texas Constitution, that they do not need to comply with the Open Records Act. Along with that, this court mentioned the case of Meschel, and there was a little discussion, and with Etheridge. Our position is we rely on the case of Etheridge. It does say, and I disagree with counsel, that it was mere dicta. It says very clearly that the district attorney's office is subject to the Open Records Act.
Counsel, you take the position the legislature could have, could subject the judicial branch to the Open Records Act?
We do not, the exception within the Open Records Act that says it does not comply to the judiciary is how I have understood part of the
I'm asking now, I guess, more of the separation of powers argument that Mr. Holmes makes. He makes the argument, as I understand it, that the legislature could not constitutionally apply the Open Records Act to the district attorney's office. And I'm asking, in terms of the legislature's power, could it subject the judicial branch to the Open Records Act?
His reliance on Meschel to that conclusion, we believe, is misplaced. to the extent the Court of Criminal Appeals reviewed the separation of powers cases, they concluded that it went to the core function of a prosecutor, that the Speedy Trial Act prevented a prosecutor from doing that essential, exclusive function of a prosecutor, to prosecute his case. Our response to you, Your Honor, is under the functional application of the separations of powers doctrine, the Open Records Act is not prohibiting Holmes or his other DAs to prosecute district attorney cases, to file and to prosecute criminal cases. Certainly, under the exceptions within the Open Records Act, those that are available to district attorneys, we are talking about closed cases. And in that very limited interference, it is so very limited that we do take the position that it could have been and has been done by the legislature.
It could apply to the judiciary?
No, Your Honor.
It could not constitutionally apply to the judiciary, or it could? I'm not talking about this case. I'm talking about a broader question.
Your Honor, you were subject to an open records request for telephone records a couple years back, and the General Services Commission held on to this. And the Attorney General's office at that time determined that that would have been an intrusion into the judicial department, the records of the judiciary.
And isn't the reason for that is because this aspect of the judiciary is clearly created by the Constitution, not created by the legislature, and is clearly not a part of the executive branch.
It was, yes, Your Honor, it was. Under Article 1, or Section 1 of Article 5, this court is conferred judicial powers. The district attorney's office, although mentioned in Article 5 of the Texas Constitution, is not conferred any judicial powers.
And let's talk about the creation of the DA's office, because you cite in your brief on page 7 that the Harris County DA's office is specifically created in its powers defined in Section 43.180 of the Texas Government Code.
Yes, sir.
And go ahead.
That's what we rely upon as far as the Constitution of the state of Texas in Section 21 refers to district attorneys. It is in 43.108 that it specifically creates the office of the Harris County District Attorney.
And so does that mean that, does that tie in your argument that the Harris County DA's office is subject to subsection 552.0003A1 of the Open Records Act, because the Harris County DA's office was created by a legislative branch of state government?
Yes, Your Honor. We also rely on A10, which requires that governmental bodies that receive a portion or are funded or supported by public funds must comply with the Open Records Act. We have two provisions that define them as governmental bodies.
Is the opposing counsel correct that you, the Attorney General, requires that every document be looked at by the district attorney if they're claiming that it involves law enforcement? Or can they just take a certain person's file and say, we cannot disclose this because of a future investigation?
Your Honor, I believe that statement is rather inflammatory in the sense that counsel, even in this case, submitted representative samples of the file. In this case, and it's very common, parties, depending on the document, depending on the document, can produce and mark representative files. You mentioned folders, and you mentioned, packets of information or files of information. I would not agree with my opposing counsel that that is the concern that he needs to have addressed. As the court mentioned, the Open Records Act does not turn on whether it's a lot of work for governmental bodies to comply with. I've heard a little bit of, because it's so much work, we should not have to comply with that.
If someone asks the DA for a pending file and he says no, you agree he doesn't have to produce it, period. Is that right or not?
Generally, Your Honor, that is correct. They certify to us that when we hear the word pending, We are looking for even contemplated,
and
even
anticipated. And if they ask for a closed file, then what?
Under the closed file, and Holmes has refused to do this, all he needs to do is claim that it will unduly interfere with law enforcement. That would be the exception obtained for him under 108. Holmes has taken a risk. They have drawn a line. They have taken, in my view, a very strident position. They, under 108, now they say under 108, the concept of unduly interfering with law enforcement is not found anywhere. Your Honor, this court, even that very standard was repeated most recently in A&T versus Sharp, an open records case from this court that referred to the exception, the law enforcement exception under 108, and it requires certain documents to be disclosed because, in Your Honor's words, it said that it would not unduly interfere with law enforcement. Prior to that, we cited in our brief, we have the ex parte Pruitt case, a case up from this court that referred to active arson investigation files. The court's decision would not unduly interfere with law enforcement. Thank you.
Are you saying that, for instance, if District Attorney Holmes sent an open records request to you, say this file number, and they just say there, we think if we disclose this closed file in its entirety, would unduly burden the law enforcement and so forth, you would just write back and say you don't have to do it? And your point is that they don't ever say that. Is that right?
Very close to what I'm saying, Your Honor. It's not unduly burdening law enforcement. It is unduly interfere with the law enforcement. The burden is a little strange if he is suggesting.
Well, I'm trying to quote the Pruitt.
Yes. Generally, when governmental bodies and other governmental bodies do have closed prosecution cases, and they have done it as well, they have prosecution cases that the standard could have been set in their request for an attorney general's opinion in the first instance. The disclosure of this information, the witnesses we interviewed, it will unduly interfere with law enforcement.
If they had made that contention, you would accept it?
Generally, Your Honor, these are accepted on face value. We do not go out and investigate and determine on a factual basis in that sense.
Well,
we are provided with
yeah, let me pursue that a little further. Their brief indicates that they submit what they call representative parts of these files for review by the Attorney General when the opinion is rendered. Do I understand if they say clearly that this, we don't think this entire matter should be disclosed because it unduly interferes with law enforcement, that you would take that at face value, write them back an opinion letter, you don't have to comply?
Well,
and that your point is that they don't say that, so that's why you say you've got to comply.
Yes, Your Honor. They believe the standard, there should be no showing. They believe that 108, law enforcement exception, compels the exception from disclosure. Any record dealing with detection, investigation, or prosecution of criminal cases forever.
If they took the position that it, by diverting employees of the district attorney's office to respond to open records requests, that it would unduly interfere with law enforcement generally, you would accept that at face value and not require production?
Your Honor, that argument has not been made, that is how it will unduly interfere with law enforcement. The cases to date have discussed the unduly interfering with law enforcement is disclosure of identity of witnesses, disclosure of facts, theory, strategy, where we're going from here. That has not been addressed.
So what is your answer to my question? If that had been raised, if that was the basis of a claim of undue interference, is that a good answer? Is that closed
I'm,
the case?
I'm cautiously saying, Your Honor, I do not believe that alone would be the type of unduly interfering because the Open Records Act has not been construed as allowing parties to not comply with it is too much work.
So you do look behind the contention or the conclusion that this would unduly interfere with law enforcement.
And
you look behind the reasons for
usually
that.
Usually the reasons are given, though, as it will give out a witness name, a strategy, a position, informant. Those are generally the reasons of why the disclosure of this kind of notes by a prosecutor would unduly interfere with his law enforcement efforts.
Wouldn't production of the litigation file always infringe on any work product privilege that might apply?
Under the Open Records Act, under 103, the work product, as they have raised it as well, they claim attorney work product. Frankly, it seems that most of the documents at issue here are in that category.
Would they be privileged?
Currently, with 103, the litigation exception under the Open Records Act, there is a deadline. There is a time limit. It says that
if they complied with the deadline, would they be privileged?
The time limit says that the information regarding pending or contemplated litigation is available for pending or contemplated. And as far as for a district attorney's prosecutorial file, it says that it is available until all post-conviction remedies, statute of limitations are exhausted. It would not continue. The question is before the court. Holmes has brought the question before the court. Would the attorney's work product, that work of a district attorney, continue past the limitations set in 103?
And you can see that is different from the standard we apply in civil cases. The standard that you're advocating is different from what we apply in civil cases.
The attorney work product?
Yes, the longevity of it.
Under the open, because of the Open Records Act, this case brings to the court the, I would say, the collision of the Open Records Act and an attorney work product privilege. Certainly, this court's opinion in Owen Corning speaks to the attorney work product being so very closely related to the attorney-client relationship in those documents. Of course, your honors have rendered opinions subsequent to Owen Corning. However, what you have not rendered regarding the attorney work product is any case that interprets the attorney work product in light of the Open Records Act. And that is what this case is.
Your position is that Part B of 103 puts a limitation for work product privilege, and whenever the statute runs or all appeals are exhausted, then they're subject to relief.
Yes, sir. Because initially the statutory requirement in the Open Records Act that is liberally construed for open. Many opinions have talked about the exceptions are the exceptions. They must be read very strictly. The 103, the pending litigation, ends at the end of litigation.
I'll take it. So under the status of this case, in your view, that rules out 103 as the reason why Mr. Holmes should prevail because of Part B on the closed trial.
That is the issue. Yes, Your Honor. That is the issue. How the Attorney General has not been able to disregard the express language of the Open Records Act.
Well, I understand that if he says, I think I don't have to give them to you under 103A2 because it's my discretion, you say, well, if it's closed and the statute's run, you have to give it to us because of B.
Yes.
So if we agree on that, that's one exception. It's gone, but there's still two more left. And one of them is the law enforcement exception.
108.
I understand what you're saying. You're saying on behalf of General Morales that if District Attorney Holmes uses the magic phrase in the letter saying, do we have to reveal or release these records, that it would unduly operate against the law enforcement or crime prevention, that you would say, we agree and you don't have to release him, but he does not say that, is that right?
That is correct. I'm going to qualify, Your Honor, as far as magic words. generally the magic words are accompanied with the simple additional language that it would reveal the strategy.
No, no. I want to pin you down on that phrase because you said in your brief that that is the standard by Pruitt, and you're relying on Pruitt to say this is what they have to say. And I'm trying to see if you're saying that General Morales agrees with that and would say that all District Attorney Holmes has to say, if it's a closed file, is quote Pruitt in the transmittal letter, and you'll respond and say you don't have to release it.
And
so
I'm,
that it's up to him to just use the magic words.
And I'm going to be saying that there is some use of the magic words that would allow the exception to be available to him.
You're surely not encouraging district attorneys to use the magic word if they don't, in good conscience, claim that.
No, Your Honor, that's why I do not want to be pinned down. I don't want that.
Well, I understand
but
that.
But I'm trying to answer his question.
It sounds in your briefing today like you're kind of blaming District Attorney Holmes for, you know, why did he give us all this trouble? Why didn't he just say that and leave him alone? If the district attorney doesn't honestly believe that it falls within that standard, he certainly shouldn't say it if he thinks there are other grounds that he can allege.
I'm under the impression, as Mr. Delmer has stated, that this is really a culmination of a position of years. And right or wrong, they do not make that, they don't believe that's the standard. They believe that 108 is inviolate. Our response to that is, given Pruitt and given the Houston case, even given A&T now, this court and other courts have used the term unduly interfere with law enforcement.
Do these same exceptions apply to the Attorney General's office, prosecutors in the Attorney General's office?
Yes. And, you know, routinely the Attorney General's office is finding itself requesting opinions. So, yes.
And who do they request?
From themselves.
Well, the Attorney General's office has a division called the Open Records Division. And there is a separate individual that is responsible for receiving open records requests. That individual receives them. They disseminate the requests.
For the Attorney General's office?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
So are you routinely making your litigation files available to open records requests based on the position you're advocating here?
We are...
Please.
We urge the exception as well. There are times
on closed file?
Yes, in our closed file.
So you are not
exceptions.
Revealing closed file information, just as Mr. Holmes is saying they need not reveal closed files.
Under the concern of unduly interfering with law enforcement, I understand now, Your Honor, I may have to correct this, and I request that opportunity to request this fact. I'm telling you. But I'm understanding that within the Office of the Attorney General, if exceptions are available, we will claim them.
And you do make that claim under the undue interference with law enforcement exception? Is that what you're saying?
I want to check on that, Your Honor. I am not aware that we don't avail ourselves to any particular exception if it is available to us.
Any other questions?
One more, please. Under 108, District Attorney Holmes makes the argument that it doesn't specify anything about whether the file is open or closed. It just says that if it has to do with the record of law enforcement agency or prosecutor, that it's not disclosable. And where do you get the difference between closed or unclosed under 108?
I'm sorry, I didn't follow.
Section 108 says that the district attorney doesn't have to disclose a record of a law enforcement agency or prosecutor that deals with detection, investigation, or prosecution of a crime.
Yes.
And it doesn't say only if it's an active file. And his argument is, how can you read into that exception that if it's a closed file, he has to reveal it?
We are relying upon the language in Ex parte Pruitt that was an active investigation. In the Houston Chronicle case that referred to active ongoing investigation. Even in the Heard versus Houston Post case, that also talks about unduly interfere with law enforcement. The reliance is founded in that certainly if it is an open-ended case, notwithstanding the 103 litigation exception, that 108 would be available. The distinction comes, and the issue is here, whether 108, the law enforcement exception, should be applied at all or available at all to closed files. Our response is it is available only if it is shown to unduly interfere with law enforcement.
Because the Pruitt and Houston Crockett.
Yes, Your Honor. The
and it's interpretation of those cases because they dealt with active cases.
Yes.
But there's no direct statement in either one of those, and it doesn't apply to closed cases.
No.
So that's our issue.
That is your issue.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. Court is ready to hear rebuttal. It's my recollection that the Open Records Act predates the Texas Rules of Evidence, now Texas Rules of Civil Evidence, correct?
The Open Records Act predates the rules?
Predates our codification.
I don't know, Your Honor. Can't say it for certain. Texas Open Records Act was promulgated in the early 1980s. I'm not certain when the rules of civil evidence were promulgated by this court.
At any rate, assuming they do, or would they do, if there's a conflict between our work product doctrine, as we interpret that arising out of these rules, in the Open Records Act, if we did not repeal or modify the Open Records Act in promulgating our rules, doesn't it control?
I think that the court needs to resolve the conflict in favor of avoiding a separation of powers problem by recognizing the district attorney's work product privilege. I think that the significant issue of whether the legislature can compel the district attorney to disclose his most confidential work product ought to be the guiding focus in resolving any statutory conflict or any conflict between statutes and rules in this matter.
Can't they compel that, though, because you were created under 43-180 of the Texas Government Code?
I totally disagree with that argument. I'm glad you reminded me, Justice Abbott, because the Texas Constitution of many years past specifically created the existence of the Office of the District Attorney and stated that the voters of each district shall elect their district attorney and so forth in the Constitution. I think we argued at some length in our brief in the court below and perhaps in our application of writ of error that as years went by and the various constitutions were reenacted, that the provision creating the district attorney faded out of the Constitution, and now we're left only with Article 5, I believe Section 21, which recognizes the existence of a district and county attorney. So the Court of Criminal Appeals had little difficulty in finding that the district attorney, the office of the district attorney, was constitutionally created and has always existed in Texas government as a product of Texas Constitution. The legislature has only defined the geographical limits of the particular district in which the voters will elect the district attorney to fulfill his constitutional function.
Could the legislature pass a statute and say in all criminal cases your file is open to the defendant? We waive for you attorney-client and work product and your records are open?
Absolutely not, because in Meschel, the Court of Criminal Appeals held that the legislature cannot infringe upon the exclusive area of discretion that's constitutionally allowed the constitutional office of the district attorney. And one of his core areas, his core functions that is protected by separation of powers doctrine is his preparation of trial. And all of these issues go to his preparation for trial, because if you tell a lawyer that his own litigation file will subsequently be open to disclosure, then every decision he makes as to what goes into the file and what areas of information he needs to go look at will be, that decision will be made in light of the fact that he's worried about how his file will look to somebody that reads it. Similarly, all the decisions he makes
Counsel,
about...
Counsel, your time has expired.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Any other questions? Thank you, Counsel. Court.